placing of Ballylennon last in the Tidy Villages contest and the disappearance of its organiser Paddy McGoldrick to England have been received with mixed feelings by Fonsy Doherty. Fonsy is the owner of the Swilly Arms, runs an estate agency and is chairman of the Ballylennon Development Association. But he harbours fears to the effect that Paddy may be seeing his daughter Josie in Birmingham. His views on another couple are also equivocal, but the marriage of schoolteacher Vivian Bull to the Reverend Hawthorne and their departure from the manse to another congregation should make life much easier for him. Such issues are also of abiding interest to the McConkie sisters, Muriel, owner of the corner shop, and Vera, operator of the manual exchange, through which all telephonic communication to Ballylennon's 11 subscribers must pass. Ballylennon, 1955.
Ballylennon call office. Number, please.
Can you put me through to Ballylennon 6, please?
Oh, there's nobody at home at number 6. I'm only after trying to put through a call myself.
This is the operator in Cummock, Ayrshire.
If it's Reverend Hawthorne they're looking for, I heard he was going in to letter Kenny to buy a new valve for the pump. But Mrs. Hawthorne, passed by the window here half an hour ago, so she's likely out and around the town yet.
I'll pass all that on to the caller. Much obliged to you.
Don't mention it. Oh, I should be charging for information at fippence a minute. Are you there, Muriel?
You know there's a big demand for the black treacle, Vera. Must be the change in the weather. What were you saying?
That letter there, I'm only after noticing the American stamp.
But did it come this morning?
Oh, yes, but it's not addressed to us.
The City Archivist, Ballylennon, Donegal County, Ireland. What was Manus McGarrigle thinking of delivering that here? And who's the City Archivist?
Will I open it?
No, wait a minute here. Who else could it be for? Archivist, it could be intended for...
It definitely could not. She's a historian, not an archivist. And she's only self-appointed
all
anyway.
All the same, she has a fair knowledge of things. You've got to hand that to her.
Muriel, are you astray in your wits today? Vivian Bowl, I beg her pardon, Mrs. Samuel Hawthorne, is decamping for Scotland with her new husband and her ancient canary in how many weeks' time? She'd have no further interest in whatever's going on here.
Do you know what we should do? Show the letter to Fonsy Doherty. He could deal with it as if it was meant for the archivist of the Development Association. I'll be taking the minutes of the last meeting up to after the dinner anyway.
But we'll have a wee read of it now. It's all in typewriting. And a name in green ink. May Bell McFinney.
Maybelle McFinney. Ah, my advice to you, Muriel, is to have nothing to do with her or the likes of her. I wouldn't even reply to this letter.
But that would be very impolite, Fonsy.
Well, maybe. But she wouldn't know who was being impolite if she didn't receive a reply, would she?
That's true, Fonsy.
How could she expect a reply to a letter the like of this? Look, post restant on the outside.
Uh-huh.
It's normal for letters with that on them to pile up in the sorting office in Letterkenny till someone decides to hoosh them all out into the bin. Where's that tea? Imelda! Didn't I ask you to bring a cup of tea in here for Miss McConkie?
It doesn't matter, Fonsy.
Oh, you know, she forgets everything. She's like that with the guests, too, huh? Though I wouldn't say we're being knocked down on the rush of those at present. No, I'd forget all about the contents of this letter, Muriel. Isn't that this part of it? I represent the McFinney Foundation of Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, dedicated to perpetuating the memory of Alice McFinney, maternal great-grandmother of former President Herbert C. Hoover. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Where is it now? Here. I plan to search for McFinney landmarks with members of our group and will be so happy if you would let me know the location of Alice McFinney's birthplace, which on verified records state was close to Ballylennon in Donegal County. Donegal County.
She's an American. She can't help being ignorant.
Can't you see her, Muriel? Driving into the town in a car as long as today and yesterday. Sure, not one of us knows anything about the McFinney homestead. Nor even the name. There you are, Imelda. Now, I hope it isn't gone cold.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's lovely, Imelda. There you are, miss.
Oh, will you see if the commercial traveler in number 5 got his boots off? And shut that door! Please. I've said it before, Muriel, and I'll say it again. There are people you can do without. Huh? Do you mind that Miss Watson from the Irish Times writing up the old courthouse and making us all look like gobbaloons? And that other one? The announcer from Radio Éireann.
Ethna ni fart alone.
Destroying the good gramophone that Mr. Jackson gave us to lend on?
Oh, yes, yes. And I know you're too diplomatic, Fonsy, to mention my own cousin.
Huh?
Sister Gabriel.
Oh, very well-educated woman. Very pleasant to meet. I know you had difficulties with her when she was staying below in your house.
We'll pass over all that, Fonsy.
So, the best thing to do is to ignore that letter.
Right.
Sure. It never arrived.
Who's that?
It's me.
Oh, Peg Sweeney. Hold on a minute, Peg. I keep the back door locked.
Hello, Vera.
Come in.
Why didn't you come through the shop?
Your sister has a drift of customers in anyway. I was only looking for an old shop.
Are you not collecting?
I can do another collection for the cruelty coming up to Christmas when people are more negligent about their money.
Sit down. Will you take a... No. I have a bottle of port wine I won in the raffle for the Holy Ghost missions to the Congo. You know, it's been sitting in the press here since Easter.
I won't stop long, then. I'd be in desperate trouble landing home footless to the presbytery.
Sure, who would see you?
He's home. Didn't you know the canon's home?
Oh, and I had myself convinced he'd be in St. Union's for life.
God forgive me, I think they threw him out. Oh. They were afraid he might become a permanent patient. Don't you, what could they do? Did you ever try to blow a fire with an old leather bellows?
No, I'm sure I did, for all the sparks and drains.
Well, his breathing is like one of those. Oh, stop! That's far too much. Thanks. The lungs. And the other thing's gone, or going too.
Good luck.
Oh, indeed, I wouldn't have anything to do with that, of course. But the Jubilee nurse comes in twice a day. And sometimes they send the male nurse in the district when he's needed.
Oh, the poor man.
I think the doctors have it all wrong, Vera. There he was in St. Eunan's, all drips and pipes hanging out of him, and the rosary every 2 hours, and then a big plate of sausages and champ. Oh, he's not off his food. My eyes are red from chopping onions. No, if they gave him a natural treatment, I swear he'd be back on the altar in 3 weeks.
I suppose if he goes...
But he won't, Vera. He's only suffering from the wrong diagnosis.
But if he was completely confined to the bed, wouldn't they give the job to Father O'Flatley?
I couldn't stand that. He's all get up and go, which is ridiculous because he has nowhere to go. Oh, that's enough, thanks, Sludge. No, what I was saying. The canon needs a natural cure. I was reading in one of the magazines about Chinese medicine, and I can tell you, Vera, I'm all for acupuncture.
And what's that in heaven's name?
Your body is crisscrossed by invisible paths called meridians. There's a meridian from your liver to your big toe. Now, if you've something the matter with your liver, what do you do? Only stick a pin in your big toe.
Lord save us.
Oh, I have it all read up. What I'm going to do sometime when the canon's had a sip of whiskey and has fallen into a kind of a daze is to apply the pins to his toes. They have to be silver plate.
No,
oh, I would. And if I'm left alone to keep going at it for a bit, it's not long before you'll see Canon Freel giving benediction in the church like he never had a complaint in a month of Sundays.
Excuse me.
Right, you are.
Hello, Babylon Call Office. What? Oh, yes, Miss Sweeney's here.
Oh?
Uh-huh. Oh, all right, I'll tell her. Goodbye.
Who's that?
Oh, that was Dr. Bigot's receptionist to say his locum is going to drop up to see the canon in about an hour.
There'll be no apiculture tonight, then.
Oh,
that port wine's drawn stuff, Vera. You and Muriel must come up and see the canon some evening. It's not good for him to be so... I was hated.
I'll go out through the shop and get a bag of peppermints in your system for me, bro.
You know the way these emigrants are, Snoopy. wanted to come back and settle, but when you burst your braces for them trying to get an acre of land for next to nothing, you never hear from them again.
They think you owe them 11 to the day. What's this the name was?
McQuinney or McAvinny or something. It's not a name I ever heard around here.
There was McFinney's out of Drumskitrig in old God's time. I had to write a piece for the paper on one of them once. Mickey Joe, a footballer. No, a hurler, when the hurling was more popular. An obituary, I think it was.
Ah, is that right? Is it the same again?
Thanks. And then I'll go inside for my game of darts.
Pint here, Pat, when you're ready.
Coming up.
There was only one crotchety old fella I remembered. Said he was like lightning on the field, but often he wouldn't walk the length of his shoelaces. Died from doing nothing, so he did.
There's many died of that complaint, Stumpy.
Aye, but it's neither me nor you. Now, we're saying out in Drumskitrig that the McFinneys were related to that American president who invented the vacuum cleaner.
Is that right?
The man that told me that said if you saw inside the house where Mickey Joe McFinney was living, you'd say he was badly in need of his relative's invention. And to say it was like a pigsty would be insult the pig. But I didn't put that in the article.
And they'd hardly be related to the president.
Ah, they likely only said the word to give themselves a boost up. The McFinneys would wipe the dishes with the cat's tail, so they would.
Well, I leave you to contemplate your point, Stumpy. I have to ring Miss McConkie about the next meeting of the Development Association. Will you be at it?
I might have to cover the removal of the widow McAnally, but sure, probably someone will tell me who was there.
Aye. We'll see you then, Stumpy. Good luck.
Isn't it very backward country, Fonzie? You wouldn't believe we are only 5 miles from Ballylennon.
Aye, Muriel. And the people's very backward, too. The few that's left. It's the inbreed. That's the reason for so many with crossed eyes and limps.
You'd be sorry for them. None of the advantages we have.
Aye. You know, Muriel, I'm very bothered about Josie.
I knew there was something on your mind, Fonzie, but I didn't like to bring it up.
Josie writes the odd time. I'd say she's doing well in that restaurant in Birmingham, but not to put a tooth in it. Imelda and Dipna have me demented in the hotel.
Of course, Josie got her diploma from the tech.
I offered. I begged Imelda and Dipna to go and do the same. Wouldn't hear of it at all. Said they'd no interest in the running of the hotel. Well, at least they're honest enough to admit it. I think that must be the house.
It's only a wayside hovel.
Wee Stumpy Bonner was telling me it was abandoned years ago.
Imagine the President of the United States coming out of that.
It was only his great granny, Muriel. Will we take a look?
Yeah, of course. Wouldn't you think they'd have built their cabins on higher ground and not in a shock where all the water from the mountain would be seeping down? A marsh.
Oh, they didn't have the education for that kind of thing in those times, Miriam. Oh, mind where you're walking. The cows.
Fancy. Oh, I should have put on my strong shoes.
A catch has all fallen in. I'll try the door.
Put your shoulder to it, Fancy.
I hope I don't bring the whole place tumbling in and...
No,
it's only an old goat, Muriel. Someone must be keeping her inside.
I can see eyes, Fonzie. I'm sure it's a rat.
Muriel, here.
I think I'll get back into the car, Fonzie.
No, I've seen all I need to see. There's not much. But it's a dump.
What are you doing in yon haggard?
Take no notice, Muriel.
Get out to yon haggard. Or I'll send for the guard.
These country people have no manners.
Ballylennon call office.
Hello, Miss McConkie, is your sister in?
No, she's out.
I'll ring her again, so.
Will I give her a message?
Tell her the railway's up for closure.
Sure, the railway's been up for closure for 20 years, Mr. Bonner. You should know that, and you working in it.
I do know that. And I can see I won't be working in it much longer. There was two men here the day. City men. And you by the throat of them. Walking the platform. Poking into the offices. And peering into the toilets so they were. They even went into the engine house. And the big flock of turkeys that Mrs. McGinnity keeps. And they're got a terrible fright. It It's a wonder you didn't hear their gobbling in the town.
No, I didn't.
They even went up onto the roof of the signal box.
The two city men?
No, the turkeys.
Well, what did my sister have to do with the like of that, Mr. Bonner?
It should be discussed by the Development Association, so it should. It's a threat to employment.
Sure, those two men could have been sent out from Derry to do repairs. I'd have asked them their business.
I wasn't in a position to do that, Miss McConkie. The first I noticed them, I was sitting inside in the left luggage office writing up my column. I was concentrating on finding suitable words to describe the visit of Mr. De Valera to the commemoration of St. Colum Kill at Carrickfest. I was preoccupied, so I was, and I didn't even notice the bigger one of them when he looked in until he'd gone out.
He didn't say hello or pass any remark?
Well, possibly he didn't see me. I have a wee nook made out of old vim boxes in the back of the room where I can write in peace. He might only have seen the top of my head and thought it was something else.
Well, I'll tell my sister to maybe put it on the agenda, right? Closure of the railway station. Did they stay long, those men?
I was watching them through the wee ticket window for 10 minutes, and then they must have decided to chase the two turkeys back in. The goblin would have raised Lazarus.
Oh, you should have given them a hand.
I wouldn't mix with that class of people, so I wouldn't.
Well, maybe you were right, Mr. Bonner. I don't know what's worse, closing down the Derry and Donegal Railway or letting Mrs. McGinnity's turkeys loose on the town. Well, anyway, there'll be a few dozen houses and get a good Christmas dinner. Goodbye, Mr. Bonner.
I think I'll go over to the schoolhouse, Samuel, to decide which of my belongings should go from there for Scotland and which should be brought over here and put in your packing case.
Cases? Yes, that's a good idea, Vivian. I'll follow you when I've written my farewell address to the Sea Rangers.
It's a rather odd sensation having two places of residence facing one another across the road. I wonder if Ozymandias feels disorientated here, because if he does, it'll be worse for him going on to Scotland.
Scotland? Should we perhaps try to find a kind home for him here in Ballylennon?
Oh, I never thought of leaving him behind. Who would look after him properly?
My replacement here on the man, so yours in the schoolhouse, mightn't be averse to taking in a well-disposed canary.
It would be too much of a risk. Canaries get very particular about the people they reside with, as well as the residents. And I must go down to the barracks, too, to speak to Guard Gallagher about the future of the Unity Singers.
Singers? Oh, I forgot to tell you. When you were out at the stationer's, Guard Gallagher telephoned and I promised you'd ring him back.
I'd ring him now. He's probably thinking of the same thing.
Number, please?
Ballylennon 2, please.
I'm putting you through. Is that Miss Mrs. Hawthorne?
Yes, Miss McConkie.
There was a call to you from, where was it? Funny name, Crummy. Cruddy.
Oh, Cummock. It's the exchange for the place we're moving to in Ayrshire.
I could get no reply from your number, so they said they'd ring again.
Oh, no message.
No, I was only speaking to the operator.
Thank you, Miss McConkie.
You're on to number 2 now.
Hello? Sally Lennon Garda Station?
Mr. Gallagher, I heard you were looking for me.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Bowler. Beg your pardon. Mrs. Hawthorne. How's his reverence? Bearing up well?
My husband's very well, thank you. We're both exceptionally busy. Getting ourselves together for our move.
Oh, you'll be badly missed, Mrs.
Thank you. It'll be a wrench for us, too. I intended to speak to you about the Singers.
The identical thought had crossed my mind, Mrs. Do you know if the new teacher will be musically inclined?
I really have no idea, and that worries me. The post has been advertised, but I don't think there have been many applications yet.
I'd hate to see the choir you founded come to nothing, Mrs. And there's another thing I wanted to tell you. You remember the phone call I got from England after I sang All in the April Evening on the wireless from Uwe Church?
Was that followed up?
And indeed it was. I have a letter here for Nancy. They're thinking of bringing out a record of devotional songs. Now, what it says is, would you please consider sending us a list of appropriate numbers in your repertoire? I'd need your assistance on that, Mrs.
Oh, we'd better meet fairly soon, then.
What would you say to Panis Angelicus? Panis Angelicus,
I'd have to find the music for that, Mr. Gallagher. You must come round to the manse one evening and we'll draft a reply. Shall we say Thursday at 8? My husband will be at a meeting of the Guild of Youth, so we won't be disturbing him. There's a piano here.
I'll be there, Mrs. Hawthorne, on the dot.
Goodbye.
Are you finished, caller?
Thank you. Yes.
Who's that, Vera?
That was a long conversation between the chief of police and the minister's new wife.
What have they got to talk about now?
Oh, she's all worried that the choral group will go to pot when she's gone over to Scotland.
Well, whatever about the quality of his voice, he's not the man to get anything organised.
Anyway, she's made an assignation to meet him at the manse when her husband is out.
Oh, stop, Vera.
Oh, it's a funny thing about Vivian Bold. While we always knew she was interested in his reverence, she also had a kind of a graph of the same Gard Gallagher. And then there was Paddy McGoldrick.
Oh, get away out of that, Vera. Paddy McGoldrick.
Oh, any time young Paddy came in the scene, there was always a bit of a trill added to the song and a fluffing up of the breast feathers. I'm surprised you never noticed that, Muriel.
Well, the same canary didn't bother much about the plumage when it came to the wedding.
Oh.
Imagine being married in a wee costume.
They hate to spend money, that's what it is.
And from the picture in the Vindicator, there weren't many at it. But then, I don't think there's many Presbyterians left in Raphoe.
What'll we all do for educational information when she's gone, though?
Oh,
there she is now, Stumpy, coming out of Hazlitt's Fancy Bakery, the new Mrs. Reverend Hawthorne.
Has she stopped cooking for them already?
She's the only person who'd know the history of Drumskitrick and the McFinneys.
It might be in her book, then you wouldn't have to ask her.
Did she mention Drumskitrick in her book? Because I never started looking to see.
I suppose there's nothing that could be put in a book about Drumskitrick. So they ate their young out there.
Is she going into the post office? No. Oh, she's coming this way. Look, I'd be very casual in my approach. And you can have been to see me about signature, aye, against the closing of the railway. And I'm showing you out the door and thanking you for your visit.
That's exactly why I'm here, so it is.
Well, then, I'm not putting it on, am I? And not a word about the Hoover connection.
Ah, good day, Mrs. Hawthorne. Doing a bit of laying in for the family cupboard.
Good morning, Mr. Doherty. And Mr. Bonner?
Mr. Bonner was just telling me that there's bad news about closing the line to Derry, and he's getting signatures.
And may I sign too, please? It's most important that lines, in every sense, be kept open in this contracting world.
Well, Mr. Bonner, he's only consulting me about it today.
I'll be drafting a petition over the weekend, so will.
As you're passing, Mrs. Hawthorne, a question I have from a client who's thinking of building a house in Drumskitrick. He wants to know if there were McFinneys living there at any time.
The McFinneys were lords of Finn Claddy in pre-Norman times, you know. But they sided with the Earl of Essex during the Tudor plantation. And that's probably when they converted to the Reformed Church. Because of this, they suffered in following centuries due to persecution from those who had not reformed.
My, oh my, Mrs. Hawthorne, you're like an encyclopedia.
The clan declined as a result, and most of them emigrated to Carolina and West Virginia, where they flourished in the more favorable religious climate.
One of them is supposed to have become president of the USA.
Oh, yes. That's only an old wife's tale.
They prospered in their new land. You know the saying, from log cabin to White House. But I'd like to see that proved in their case.
They could have done well in salesmanship.
In what?
Selling vacuum cleaners.
That's a very heavy gate, Vera. A child and an elderly person wouldn't be able to push it open.
Or closed. I think that's the idea. Cannon Field was never one for encouraging unnecessary social visits.
Mm, tonight's the Clooney House. Pretty big for a single person, as well as the housekeeper, of course.
Oh, I see the present housekeeper hooking in the vegetables. Yoo-hoo!
Peg! Vera! Muriel! I couldn't remember if it was this evening you were coming.
Oh, it was this evening after devotions, the first Friday.
Well, it's a fine evening for a stroll, thank God. The rhubarb's for his dinner tomorrow.
How is the cat and pig?
The improvement's phenomenal. Even Dr. McGill has to admit it. The natural diet, I knew that all along.
But you're not giving any meat? A man needs meat.
I do, of course, but I pile up the veg.
Poor Dada couldn't do without the meat, the Lord rest him.
Amen.
When he was dying above in St. Joseph's, he'd always be calling out for a roast or a steak or a nice lean rasher, maybe, even during Mass in the oratory.
Did you try the Chinese thing with the needle's peg?
Well, it's my opinion that's the real reason for the canon's recovery, though naturally I haven't mentioned it to the doctor.
And he doesn't object, the canon.
What's that you're doing to me? To say in his wheezy voice the first time when I had three little needles sitting there nice and neat in his bicep. It's the Chinese needle cure, says I, and it's going to do you a pack of good. And now he's asking for the needles every time I go in with the tray.
It's all in the mind. If you believe in it, it'll work, as Brother Timothy said at the donkey.
Well, faith is part of it, dearest. But it wouldn't be apiculture without the little silver needles. We'll go in by the kitchen. The kettle's on the hob, and I've an apple cake on the griddle, and then I'll bring you up to see himself.
Great.
You nearly left that cat out of the pipe with Mrs. Hawthorne, Stumpy.
What are you talking about? I never said anything about President Hoover. And why are you being so hesitant about it?
If it turned out that the McFinnies of Dumpskittrick were not related to President Hoover, she'd be the first to inform this May Bell one that the cottage is not a genuine ancestral home.
I thought you weren't going to have anything to do with May Bell. So that's not a name at all. It's like something you'd ring on the Four Sundays after Easter.
Well, I was thinking that if I handled it myself, if I didn't have any interfering people in on it, it could turn into something good. Right? You know, if that cottage was done up, the thatch renewed and roses planted all round to hide the sight of the dunkel, the American tourists would be queuing up for a sight of it.
And a smell of it, too.
No, what I meant to ask you was, Stumpy, did you ever look up that obituary you wrote about the hurler, McFinney?
No, because I didn't have to. I was sitting inside in the luggage office of the station doing nothing in particular, and the thought came into my mind, I don't know why it did, that the old fella I interviewed told me the McFinney lad was left to the church donkeys years ago.
Do you tell me?
The church doesn't bother with land nowadays. They let the grazing to local farmers.
I have a little word with Canon Field. He might consider selling the quarter acre with the house on it. Oh, I hear he's well recovered since they put him out of the hospital.
Recovered? Is he, be Jesus? The tobacconist and the spirits merchant will be back in business then, so they will.
Mind your foot in that top step, Muriel.
Have you got the pot of red currant jelly beer?
Yeah, I have it in my bag.
Oh, we should have brought him flowers as well.
Not at all. He has a geranium in the window. Wait now. I'll go into the bedroom first and tell him he's visitors.
Can I come in, Canon?
He must be having a little nap. Excuse me, Canon. I do lovely ladies here to visit you. Will I ask them to... Mother of God!
What is it, Peg?
He's after fainting in the bed.
He doesn't look well at all.
Canon! Canon, can you hear me?
He must have taken a turn.
Canon! Oh, stay with him. I'm going down to ring the doctor. See, will he take a sup of brandy, sir, on the washstand?
Oh. He'll not be wanting brandy. Do you think I do? I'll run down and tell her to ring for Father O'Flatley instead.
Bless us and see us.
Muriel, would you look at that?
What? What is it, Vera?
His foot poking out the other side of the bed. Isn't it bristling with pins?
In Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonsie Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna. Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker, and Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy. The Reverend Samuel Hawthorne was Gerard Murphy, Mrs. Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney, Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley, Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt, and Peg Sweeney was Anna Manahan. Music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes. Ballylennon was directed in Belfast by Owen O'Callaghan.